Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good evening, I'm Chua Tien Tien with your Market View, and today the US markets are closed for a holiday, so we want to put our attention on China specifically, as Beijing rolls back some of its virus control policies to better support its ailing economy. Now, for one, the country has cut the quarantine period for international travellers to 7 days from the previous 14 to 21 days. Now, authorities will no longer indicate whether a person has recently visited high-risk cities in its digital travel passes, making it easier for people to travel domestically. But to what extent would such relaxation of COVID-19 measures boost the world's second largest economy? What can investors look forward to for the second half of the year? And what are some of those risks of China going back against those relaxation? And for more, we have Iris Pang, Chief Economist of Greater China at ING, with us on the line. Hi, Ms. Pang.
Hello, Tian Tian.
Hi, Ms. Pang. Maybe let's just start with some of those questions. We saw the Chinese government shortening the quarantine period for international travellers and even COVID-19 positive cases. We also saw the company reopening schools, restaurants. To what extent will this boost consumer demand for the rest of the year? And are we seeing any U-turn of those policies right now?
I'll answer your second question first. So everyone is very excited about this relaxation because it means that the Chinese economy is going to recover very soon. I agree on that. But we have to be very cautious that this relaxation is based on the fact that there were only single cases in the key cities. And if that is going to change, we don't know. If COVID cases climb again in key cities, then those relaxation measures may be tightened again, those measures. So we have to have something back in mind like this. But for the moment, it means that retail demand will pop up because people don't need to stay at home for the long period. And therefore, there will be more activities in the shopping mall and also for leisure travel in the summer holiday. I mean, cross cities and cross provincial travels.
Certainly. But right now, we do see China placing 1.7 million people under lockdown in central Anhui province. To what extent will that dampen growth, at least for the short term?
That is not going to dampen growth a lot because Anhui is not a key city for in terms of economics. So it means that there will be some blockage in terms of people flows within the cities and people can't cross the cities. So not going in or going out. So this will affect those people who are now in Anhui looking for short trips. Going to, for example, say Shanghai, then it will be impossible. And Anhui itself has some scenic area, but all over the countries there are many scenic areas. So avoiding Anhui is not really damaging for the leisure travel in the summer.
As expected. So overall, looking at that, what is your expectation for the full year growth and why is that so?
My current forecast is 3.6% GDP growth. The government's target set in March is 5.5%. The government is working very hard to achieve the 5.5% target. But even my 3.6%, that is before the COVID measures being relaxed, I'm going to revise it to be a little bit higher, something like 4-ish%. But even that, it doesn't mean that it will be easy to achieve 5.5%. They have to do a lot of infrastructure investments and do it as soon as possible because after the investment, the most important thing is the construction activities. If the investments arrived in, for example, September, compared to December, it will be a totally different story.
So on that note, investments by the government, to what extent or how far is the government expected to support the economy this year to sort of recover from the troughs of the pandemic?
The government has so far assigned a quota for these kind of infrastructure investment, which is around 4 to 5%. But it can increase the quota. But as I said, this is this is a quota that is okay, but the issue is just is the timing. When do you input this investments into projects, and when will the projects start to become activities?
Understand, apart from the quotas, apart from the investments into the infrastructure, there are some accommodative policies by the Chinese government, some grants given, for instance, in a few of making of electric vehicles. So what are some of those policies, if you could share with us a little bit more?
There are more and more cities joining the central government to offer subsidies to buy electric vehicles. The amounts depends on the city's purchasing power and on the city's living cost of living. So this will boost EVs and will boost the overall retail sales amount, and therefore increase GDP. But it has a limit. You can't say that you subsidize EVs and then you subsidize aircon and then you subsidize the fridge and then you subsidize everything. So there is a limit on this. I think the most important thing is that you subsidize a little bit and try to get the private sector running by themselves, creating jobs and then creating salaries and then demand for goods. So it is a circle here. So hoping that those subsidies on EVs will create enough jobs for the private sectors.
So based on what we see now currently in terms of the monetary policy, in terms of the subsidies that's given to the various fields and industries, how effective do you think they are at the moment in terms of spurring those economic activities that you mentioned, creating jobs and all?
That's why I say that I will revise the GDP forecast upward to 4% for this year. So it will be better, but whether it will achieve the government's target of 5.5% is a big question mark. So, as I've mentioned, it is the timing of the infra investments.
And in that case, what are some of the major drags for China in the second half? I understand that slow home sales recovery, the ongoing technology war, they are going to weigh on the economy going forward.
The big risk, I think, is still the technology war, because China itself cannot produce very advanced semiconductor equipment. It has one only just created, but still not very advanced. It's a mid-level. So it depends on imports on this kind of equipment. But imports of these equipment, it has become a political issue nowadays. So it is not easy for China to get that. So instead of doing hanging on this imports, keeping waiting, they are trying to get talents from around the world to help to build these kind of semiconductor equipment. But this is also a long way. So they are trying to do whatever they can to achieve this, but the mission is really challenging. On home sales, I'm more optimistic because there are some relaxation on home purchasing policies and mortgage rates are lowered. So I think home sales will actually edge upwards slowly, but that will only happen in 4Q, I think.
So in your opinion, would it be right to say that the housing market has sort of reached its bottom right now and we'll be seeing a rebound in 4Q?
Yes, I really think that is the way forward. Bottoming already in the second quarter, and it will pick up steadily from now on. But we have to differentiate the home sale market to property developers. We should continue to see real estate property developers continue to default on their bonds. And home buyers will stay away from homes built by these defaulted developers because they will worry about the after-sales issues.
And now, if you're just tuning in, we're now speaking to Iris Pang, Chief Economist of Greater China at ING. Now, Ms. Pang, I understand just now we did briefly mention about monetary policy and China. And I do want to ask China's central bank, they say the policy will be responsive to changes. To what extent are they likely to keep monetary policy easy for the rest of this year, and how will this help the economy?
I think the monetary policy has been very clear that it is very dependent on COVID measures. The degree of tightness of the COVID measures. for now, the COVID measures have been relaxed, and therefore monetary policy should be paused. They were cutting rates. But now I think they will pause for a while and try to manage liquidity daily in the interbank market. And they are not going to let the liquidity to be really big every day. They will manage it to just right, to around 2% interest rates for 7 days, for 7 day rates. So we shouldn't expect too many easing policy from the central bank unless COVID number rises rapidly again.
Mm. But are we expecting a hawkish stance from the China's central bank anytime soon or even next year?
Maybe next year, but definitely not this year. The economy has not recovered from the second quarter. It is just starting to recover. Mm. So we can't expect anything that we can call hawkish from the PBOC anytime soon. Not this year. Maybe next year. Depends on the COVID situation and depends on the tightness of the measures.
Mm. And Ms. Pang, given all these uncertainties right now, which types of investments or assets should investors, and in particular retail investors listening to this conversation right now, put their money on in terms of China? What should they be looking at? How should they better position their portfolios?
I think we have to differentiate at least two types of investors. If the investors are very aggressive, growth type concerned, can tolerate a lot of risk, then they should look into like semiconductors in the and technology side, because that is a big growth prospect. But growth may not come in this year. If investors are more prudent, then maybe some steady like retail sector maybe can be considered.
Certainly. Thank you very much. That was Iris Pang, Chief Economist of Greater China at ING.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.